I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I reckon, is that the seventh time we've heard that song tonight, Lakey? You and I are having an absolute mare for this Round 6 TLT podcast.
Mate, it's persistence pays off. You'll get the best of us this time. We've had plenty of practice runs and we're going to get everything right this time round.
Oh, it's been absolute carnage all day. Firstly, the team's dropped and there's players out left, right and centre. Carnage for the Supercoach world. And then we see John Morris dropped as Cronulla coach, effective immediately. What's going on there? And, of course, they've got the Knights this week. Teams tend to bounce back from adversity, though, right? Are you a little scared?
I am a little scared. I'm worried that this is going to give the Sharks a little bit of an extra injection into their performance this week.
It's funny.
It's funny every time I say it. It's brilliant.
Yeah, the old injection joke.
Yep. So, no, it's such a weird one. Like, people blow up about players' loyalty in this game, but there's just nothing coming back to the players either. So it's a tough one to swallow if you're a John Morris fan.
Absolutely, the poor bugger indeed. So, all right, Lakey, there's a fair bit going on in the Round 6 Teamless Tuesday world. We'll go through that a little later along with the news and suspensions. I guess let's do a quick around the grounds in terms of you and I. And last week we were on air on the Sunday night as Ryan Pappenhausen's downgrades came to light, and that knocked me off my perch ahead of you. I think we're, 10 points different you beat me by last week, so scraped home.
It's brilliant, mate. I couldn't be happier with that downgrade. So it got me the win in the head-to-head, and I'm now sitting a couple of places ahead of you on the rankings, about 60 places ahead of you, basically by 1 point. I'm on 6075, and you're on 6074 in the overall points, and that separated us by 60 places. So, yeah, I couldn't be happier.
It is pretty well evident how tight this whole competition is, Will, if you're sort of in that 5 to 10K ranking where we are. But I think we're a very, very long way off the top of the perch. And speaking of, we've got someone who's, very, very high up in the competition. He was first last week. He's dropped back to a lowly second spot come round six. But Alex, he's a fan of the show, and he's going to be joining us tomorrow night to tell us basically what we're doing wrong and what we should be doing right. It'll be great to have some real Supercoach nous for once.
I know, mate. So sick of listening to us prattle on and give you the wrong advice week in, week out. Then tune in next week because tomorrow, because Alex, he's been getting everything right. And it's going to be great to hear his point of view and what he's done right to this point, and if he has any strategies that we need to follow going towards the end of the year.
Yeah, he's got a great Supercoach story there to tell. He's not been in the game much long at all there. So everyone's going to be very jealous of the story he's got. So tune in for tomorrow night's SC report. But today we're here to talk about the team lists. Lakey, firstly, the news that's been dropping out for suspensions and injury. Fair bit of injury carnage across the league, as it has basically all season. So it's hard to get a read on some of these player welfare issues, but there's a fair few going on. I guess Supercoach relevant ones. There's been a couple of guys that have been named that are sort of questionable. One of those is my boy, Jason Taumalolo. Been named in the side again, starting lock as he was last week, but he's no guarantee to return. So he's got a lingering hand or broken hand issue there that's causing him a lot of pain. So just got to see whether he can make it through a game unscathed. So far, so good. Anyway, for team lists, but keep your eye out for him. And I think a guy you asked me about, I think earlier this afternoon or maybe when, and just in terms of what Ruben Cotter being out for the next 4 to 6 weeks with, I believe, a foot issue does. So not so much for, I guess, good news in a way for Ben Condon, who a lot of people are looking at. But Taumalolo, he's might be moving away from that 36-point Supercoach game and more back to the Lolo we know and love.
As long as he gets on the field, I suppose. As I say, he's still a little questionable. You were telling me before how he doesn't sound certain of actually returning himself in interview this week.
He's using words like might be okay and maybe if the pain settles down and all that sort of thing. So it just doesn't sound confident to me that he'll make it out there. But we'd love to see him against the Doggies because he's got a great record against them last year. It's fresh in the mind, 340-something odd meters. So loves tailing them up. Would be great to see us. We're in the winner's circle. We're not leaving it. So, yeah, great to see Taumalolo.
He might find it hard to crack back into this winning side, mate. He might. There's no room for him. But it's giving me shades of Ryan Madison. Vibes as well. So he keeps getting named in the side and then pulled out right before the game kicks off. So it's going to be a huge watch. And it's funny, like the top three second rowers coming into the season were Angus and Lolo and Matto. Sorry, when you exclude McInnes, who did his knee at the start of the year and is actually a hooker. But yeah, the three of them, two have been absolutely pummeled by injury and become almost no-goes.
Yeah, Crichton not setting the world on fire. So it really just goes to show how good Dave Fifita has been over the last few weeks. And
you'd hate to be a non-owner, wouldn't you? You would absolutely hate to be a non-owner. Yeah.
What an idiot. A couple of other injury news of relevance here. So Freddie Lussick, he's out with a broken arm for the Roosters, 6 to 8 weeks. They were really short on stock there at that hooking spot. It seems to be a bit of a curse, but thankfully for them, in the suspension news, Ben Marshke, he was looking at a week out, but he's been given a reprieve, surprise, surprise, by the judiciary. So he'll play or suit up in number 9 spot there, bargain basement, hooker only in Supercoach. So probably not too much of an option, but Freddie Lussick, horrible news for him. He's out a couple of months. Other guys here, Josh Jackson, he's out as well. He had a bit of love at the start of the year, new position at that starting lock spot, getting a fair few minutes with all the injury carnage at the Dogs, but he's seen his, I think, 200-plus game streak come to an end, torn his calf at training. He'll be missing. Fusatua, another guy that's missing and probably not a moment too soon if you've still got him in your side because he's just not going anywhere. What's happened?
Sometimes the Supercoach gods provide for us, mate. So he's done his hamstring and he's out now. It's only a minor strain from reports, so it's 2 to 4 weeks. But it gives you, if you're looking for an excuse to get him out, this is it.
I got him out last week and it was a great trade. No regrets, no ragrets for that one there. David Fusatua, a couple of weeks out on the sidelines for him. Teague Wilton, he's a cheapy second row forward at the Sharks and he's going to get a bit more time there, you'd suspect, over the coming weeks because Wade Graham's come to that concussion last week, his second in, I believe, 2 weeks. So never a good sign, particularly for someone who's got a bit of a history, as does Josh Dugan, who's out with a concussion as well. So the Sharkies, they're in all sorts. Who knows what they're going to throw up against you boys. This is the kind of game that you'd lose, but we'll get into that later on.
Absolutely, yep. It's almost guaranteed.
Guys. Hamizo, he's out with an ankle sprain. Not too much Supercoach relevance there. For the Raiders, CNK out with a bulging disc in his neck. So copped a pretty bad shot last week from Kickout, who miraculously stayed on the field and wasn't sighted. So don't know what's going on there, but he could be out longer if surgery is required. Caleb Aitkins is about 300K. Raiders center wing fullback duel. He replaces him at fullback. Other than that, a couple of questionable guys that you've got down in your NFL parlance. You want to quickly take us through those?
The questionable guys, yeah. As I said, I've tried to give a bit of an NFL injury assessment to the injury report this week. So questionables with HDF and Connolly Lemuelu. How did I butcher that one? Nailed it. Yeah, Curtis Scott's also questionable. His ribs that he broke a few weeks ago, so he's going to be assessed later in the week to see if he suits up. Herbie Farnworth is a probable at this stage. He was rested last week as precaution and is now being monitored heading into the Thursday night game, but it looks like he's going to play. I've got Anthony Dondown as questionable, but I don't think he was named anyway. We'll get into that. But it's they're just giving him another week to get his hip right, and he should be back next week. And then Jack Gazowski, he's definitely out. He could have a season-ending Lisfranc injury, but at this stage, I think it's mostly an undiagnosed foot injury, and they're just hoping for the best. But he'll be missing for a few weeks at the best case.
How good for Schuster, hey?
Yep, nailed him in. You'd be cheering if you got onto him and kicking yourself in if you didn't.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Hey, Josh Schuster, he should be a starting second row for quite a while to come. In suspension news, couple there. We talked about Ben Marshke getting a reprieve. Dylan Brown, your boy from last week, you talked him up, and then what did he come and do?
He had a 65, so it wasn't the worst thing in the world, and he probably should have got more with a really bad, I thought, disallowed try. But, yeah, he went and got suspended. He's taken a crusher tackle and taken an early plea on that. So he's missing this game against the Raiders, and he'll be back next week for a matchup with Manly.
Hmm. A couple other guys donating to Peter Volandis' Trots Night Syndicate Kitty. So Gutho, Crichton, a few of those boys committing a few funds Peter's way. All right, let's get into the game by game, mate. Bit of a bloodbath looming here at Suncorp, I suspect. Broncos and the Panthers, what's happening in this one?
Plenty happening in this one for a Supercoach front. Tessie New has been cut. He's been made the scapegoat for the Broncos' bad start. So he's replaced by Jesse Arthurs in the centres. Ben Teo is out with a bicep injury, I believe. So he's going surgery. And many thought that was going to save Jordan Rickey, but it hasn't. Ethan Bullimore is going to replace Ben Teo. TPJ moves into the second row in place of Jordan Rickey, who gets demoted to the bench. So that hurts for us.
I cannot believe this. I cannot believe this. As a Broncos outsider, not a Broncos fan, neither are you, but I'm sitting here on the outside and I'm watching games and I see Tessie New doing what he does out there. He's a young kid who's still growing.
He's been one of the few putting in every week, and say there could be plenty of guys that have been made scapegoats. And I guess the big one is obviously Anthony Milford. He's been cut completely.
Long time overdue.
And yeah, that's it. Well deserved, you could say, but yeah, Tessie New to get cut is just ridiculous in my book. He's been putting in and trying his best, and obviously defensive lapses and whatnot, but he's a young kid and there's plenty of guys making defensive lapses in this Broncos team.
Certainly are. Jordan Rickey, it's horrible news for him. Supercoach-wise, it's worse because at least Tessie New's not playing at all. He won't lose value if you want to keep him around. But Jordan Rickey all of a sudden looms of basically maybe not a must trade out this week, but seeing him on the –
pretty close. Pretty close. Yeah. If he's going to end up in a bench role and only going to be getting 25, 30 minutes a game, he's pretty much at peak right now. So might be best just cut your losses and move on from that.
It's unreal. Like when they shifted the ball down his and New's edge, you just saw how good they were. The busts and the offloads and all that sort of stuff, but they don't get it enough. So for whatever reason, not going to get it at all here because they're, benched and not playing at all. So anyway, the good news for Supercoach there would be Tevita Pangai Jr. named in the second row. So Pat Carrigan, as you said, coming back in, and TPJ's still sticking around. Can't work him out though. 40 minutes one week, 30 the next, 50 the next. Like, What's going on? What's Kevy doing?
I don't know. I just don't know if Kevy trusts him or not. He puts in, he tries hard, but he's a bit of a loose cannon. So maybe they're just trying to limit his negative impact on the game in that regard, similar to where Hargraves down at the Roosters, they play him off the bench. So I got no idea. It'd be someone I'm steering clear of if I didn't have him already.
Yeah, I know Wenin has him and he's keeping him around. He reckons there's a bit of upside to him, which I kind of agree.
Bit of sweaty butt cracks going on leading into the Teamless Tuesday with whether he was going to keep a starting spot or be demoted to the bench. But he's taken Rickey. So running wide, a few more attacking stats potentially, but his base is going to be down. We know Pangai loves to offload. He treats it like a hot potato. He's pulling the pin and throwing that hand grenade whenever it is. So I don't know. He's a really tough
nailed it, mate.
Yeah, just flawless. But he's someone I'm going to be watching the next couple of weeks, and I don't know what to make of it. I really don't.
It's a tough one for him this week as well. Penrith have been unstoppable so far this year, 5-0. Clean bit of health for them. Great news. It's just Dylan Edwards and Api Korosau on the sidelines. But for them, anyway, they've named the same 17 as they did last week. So, very interested to see just what sort of the minutes look like for their forward pack. I guess the big one's Kurt Capewell. He's been a bit up and down so far this season, coming up against a pretty dodgy defensive line. I know a lot of people are maybe looking at just the trade-out button over the coming weeks for him, but I think personally you got to keep him around for this one.
Definitely. There has been the talk that if the Panthers are up big, they could rest Capewell, but I'm hoping he has a double or triple by that time. as is everybody in this side. I mean, they put a 20-point win on the Canberra Raiders. Imagine what they're going to do to the Broncos, man. And it's a scary proposition when the Panthers are beating someone with the like the Raiders without Dylan Edwards and Abbey Coruscant in their side. They're only going to get stronger. They're a fun team to watch, but it's a scary team to watch.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got any combination of To'o and, you know, we've got Staines. Everyone's got Staines, so I think everyone's going to be playing in this one. So, and even everyone's the clearest of the world.
That's it. It's an almost, you could throw a dart at a dartboard, just chuck all the Panthers you've got, put them up on a dartboard, throw a dart, and whoever it lands on, chuck a VC on this week.
Maybe not Stephen Crichton based on where he's been going, but. If only actually the news we were talking about, maybe Stephen Crichton getting moved back to centres and Charlie Staines going at fullback. Unfortunately, that hasn't been the way the team lists have landed, but interested to see if that's the way.
Well, that's right. They rotated Staines through the fullback role at times last week, and talk of doing it more this week. They'll throw a couple of plays together where they use Staines in a fullback role. So it should happen a little bit more, and I was really excited to see if he was going to get named there, considering that the last few weeks Luttrell and Pappenhausen absolutely destroyed the Broncos from the fullback spot. But not to be. Hopefully he can jag a few fullback attacking stats still. He's definitely worth a play. You've got to play him this week. I know he's been a roller coaster, but you have to play him this week.
Another 6 p.m. special for you on a Friday night, mate. Knights and the Sharks. We talked about it at the top. It's all, just thrown into disarray with some of the news coming out of the Sharks so far today. But for your boys, at least it's a brighter news day for them because you've got a fair few cavalry returning.
Yeah, that's right. And if nothing else, we can get our loss out of the way early this week so I don't have to sit and wait in anticipation. But no, Connor Watson shifts from his 5'8 role back to lock because Kurt Mann's back in starting 5'8. So he'll partner Blake Green in the halves. Bradman Best is the big one. He's coming back to shore up our outside backs who have been just woeful since he's been missing. So he won us a couple games off his own boot, essentially, and we've been awful since he got hurt. Jacob Safidi returns from suspension as well. But the big one, Braden Musgrove, 173K basement price cheapie. He gets his debut on the wing. So he could be someone to watch if he can nail down a spot, but you've got Edric Lee returning in 3 or 4 weeks, I think. So his time in first grade might be short-lived.
Would love a guy like that, cheapie, who's going to play the origin round, the bye round in 13, which you guys are. So with that news, I think it seems to be a watch. Edric Lee coming back in a month's time would basically rule that out, right?
Yeah, well, there's that, but Edric Lee was also incumbent Marone with Brinko on inside him, so he could be also named for that origin period and be out over that time, and Musgrove could get a few more games under his belt, providing Dom Young pulls through his knee injury too, so they could throw a few more question marks up.
Few question marks for your opponents this week as well. We talked about it. Wade Graham and Josh Dugan are both out with concussions. You've got Britt Nakora back as well. Connor Tracy, my man, he's back at centres to replace Dugan. So
playing centres this wing after starting in front rows and playing halves, man. He can do it all.
Never going to live that one down. But, yeah, he had a bit of interest last week, had a big attacking game against us and then came out and didn't – well, he basically flopped.
He was off the bench last week, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was, so not a buy for Supercoach, but definitely one to watch as his utility value rises. And CC for Talakai, he's been named on the bench as well. So everyone's favourite from last season, the dual, second row centre wing. Yeah. I think he's still got it this season. So
does. He does
hopefully loses some, would love to lose some cash for him.
Yeah, and hopefully he can nail down a starting spot over the next few weeks and we will all be trading him in as our gun centre winger. That's just a gift, someone who can put up those stats in the second row. So you got to get him in. But, yeah, we get the added bonus of getting a later watch on him.
Huge Friday night game here. Storm and the Roosters at Amy Park. With the Storm, they've named the same 17 that polled on all the points last week against the poor old Doggies, who did score some points of their own. So watch out, Cowboys. Naz has been named at lock, and Kami Kamitha has been named at on the bench still. So definitely good news for Christian Welsh owners. He's still in that number 10 spot. Bit of conjecture about what will happen when Dale Finucane returns. Interested to see where he lands in that side. But for now, Christian Welsh has played pretty well, got 100 last week. So if you've still got him around, he's probably a definite play at this stage of the year, doing some pretty good things. Outside of that, Brenko Lee's been named among the extended reserves, but got that hamstring issue. He's slowly being eased back from. So for now, if you've got a Storm player, you're probably sitting pretty because they've been putting some sides to the sword, but the opponent's the Roosters. Jeez, it's hard to get a read on them. They just keep pulling it out of the fire somehow. We saw it last week against the Sharks. Miracle comeback, I'd almost call it, before Sam Walker came and just steered them home. It was an incredible performance by him. For them, though, the big concern is obviously that number nine spot. As we talked about, Ben Marschke, the rookie, two-game rookie, is getting another go in that spot there. So for Supercoach, I definitely don't think he's the best of the hooking bargain basement options that we've got this week, but we'll get into that later. And then Lindsay Collins returns from a head knock and an ankle injury suffered in the same tackle against the Bunnies. So I think he's back on the bench, am I right?
Yeah, Collins is returning from the bench. But as say, where what his role is coming back, whether they ease him back in or not, you think with concussion, they're not going to rush anybody back. So if he's named, he's going to be fully healthy. But coming back slowly through the bench probably limits his Supercoach appeal.
Teddy and Pappy for this game, it's the fullback duel. It's a pretty exciting one. I guess for Supercoach, we're playing both of them, obviously, unless you've got a Latrell or someone. But would you captain either of them in this game? Just a preview for next.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard to do, isn't it? Neither team have been allowing fullbacks to score much on them all year. It's going to be a defensive struggle, I think. It's possibly better options as a straight-out captain this week. I wouldn't begrudge anybody throwing a VC on them, being it's a Friday night game. The Titans the next day provides a decent captaincy option with Fifita, and you've got a couple of South and Eels, Raiders options later on in the weekend too. So I wouldn't probably personally go straight captain in them, either of them.
Yeah, interested. Will Kennedy did pretty well against the Roosters, I should say, last week, got a 60-70-odd. So if Pappenhausen can carry on his form in what is a depleted Roosters side, it has to be said. It could be a very brave captaincy call, but one I'd probably lean to over Teddy. Speaking of gun fullbacks here, mate, Sea Eagles and the Titans. I feel like this game just has Supercoach points written all over it historically. It's one of those weeks.
Tom Trbojevic, he's back.
Don't know what that was.
Oh, that's just the Saints were singing, the Angels were out. Turbo is back at last. He was in everybody's side in preseason, wasn't he? I know he's locked into mine for a long time. And then, as we all do, we get on a bender on the weekend and race our mates up just in the middle of the mall, and he's pinged a hammy, surprisingly, with Turbo, I know. But he did it, and yeah. It's taken him a fair while to get back. I mean, the Seagulls season's just about over, but yeah, no, he makes his long awaited return and not a moment too soon. It's going to be fantastic watching him play. Ironically,
it certainly is. I just haven't.
Ironically, what gets him back in the side is Dylan walked up, pinged a hammy.
something in the water then. I don't know what's going on with that Seagulls side, but that's not ideal. But really, it must be said, he's under 600K. Any other year, he'd be an absolute must-buy, particularly for this sort of Arvo matchup against the Titans. But what a year it is. He's done his hammy in the preseason, as you said, running up the Corso, and then the Titans are absolute world beaters, it would look like. Well, they did beat you guys, so probably not the best, but the Titans, they're a different kettle of fish.
Absolute
so far this
world
year.
Beaters, mate. They're beating the best in the competition. So, but no, he's going to be a really intriguing watch, and I think what the best thing that this does is it probably helps Jason Saab and DCE and Big Brother. So those sorts of fringe Manly options that we've all been steering clear of or been trying to boot out of our team for all money. But Turbo loves to draw defenses and hit his outside men and that sort of stuff. So Saab could actually become more relevant, touch wood.
Oh, he's a try-scoring four, mate. He charged onto the ball last week. I reckon he's only going one place, but that's up. So I don't think anyone's trading him out because he's 200K.
Who are you trading him to? Unless you've got a massive bank, there's no point actually getting rid of him.
No. So anyway, good to see for the Manly fans, long suffering. They got a win last week. Could be, maybe it's a sign of the tide turning. Who knows? But hopefully for Toby Turbo, his hammy can hold up for a few more months. For their opponents, the Titans, same 17, fair few of these gun sides getting that luxury in this round here. So they were very impressive against you guys. Did have a couple of issues. One was Philip Sammy suffering a head knock and shuffling some of the side around. And Anthony Don there, he's got a hip concern. He's not been named. So I think we're going to speak about them tomorrow night as well. Just, are they a genuine option to have a bunch of their players in your side this year? It seems like we're leaning that way, and it's it's good to see for the Titans.
They've become the fantasy darlings, haven't they? The Supercoach darlings of the comp with Tino and Fifita. You've got Brian Kelly. Everyone was on Fogarty as at one stage. Yeah, Peachy. Even
my boy,
young Thompson, out on the wing. He's just destroying teams at the moment too. So plenty of options in this squad. They're clicking. They're getting better and better each round.
Imagine if they still had Brycey Cartwright there. How good would they be going? Would he be an option? That's one for the, like, if he was playing second row in this side, Brycey Cartwright.
I know we've had some big calls on this pod, but let's not go ridiculous.
That's not at all. But let us go to a quick break and then come back to do the last four games of the round.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Alrighty, back now, Souths and Tigers. Well, it was a horrible effort by the Tigers, a bit of a different performance by Souths, their opponents this week, and another one that could be an absolute bloodbath. I think the Tigers are $7 for this one. That might still be a bit short. Great news for us, Cody Walker returns from suspension. One of those horrible ones, I feel like it happened a lot last year where we had gun players that would get suspended for games against the Broncos or the Cowboys, whoever it might be. They just missed out on their side's gun run. Cody Walker, that was the case last week, but he's back and hopefully looking to stamp his mark on this one here. Benji Marshall goes back to the bench, and Dean Hawkins, this is a funny one. He celebrated with all his mates who were there at the ground, jumped over a fence.
Poor bloke.
15 stitches later, gash in the leg. Not a good way. He probably wasn't going to make the side this week, but good story. And Liam Knight, he's been named on the extended reserves. Hopefully good news for him because he's battling those concussion symptoms, ongoing issues for him. So nice to see him back on the team lists for the Bunnies and their opponents, the Tigers. Well, this is
huge news
for Supercoach. So Jake Simpkin, he's been killing it in the lower grades. So every week we see something on Twitter about how he's breaking lines and tackles and scoring tries and setting him up. So he's finally getting a slot. I did not expect to see Jacob Little completely out of the side. So in the 18 jersey, Little there, not sure what will happen on game day, but it looks like he won't be playing. So, yeah, I mean, very interesting for owners. I guess it sort of makes your mind up if you were looking at moving him on. What's his break even?
His break even's 11, so it's not ideal that he's been dropped this week. I know Simpkin is an absolute gun in the making, so the Tigers were just waiting for him to develop a little bit more. He hasn't played footy in, 14 months because of the COVID break, and the Reggie's not getting any sort of run down there. So they've just been sort of getting him some legs in him. He's scored, I think, 6 or 7 tries as the hooker for their junior sides, and they've only played 5 games. So he's absolutely dominating the junior comp. Makes a step up. Is he this year's Harry Grant is the big question. But completely oust Jacob Little this early in the season, that's a shock to me. I didn't think Little's been that bad.
No, I thought one of the better players. And you look around, you see your outside men just dropping off tackles and letting the likes of Ben Condon score, and then you're the one who's been dropped.
Not even your outside men. You've got your Brooks and those sorts of blokes who just are the senior players who should be standing up and guiding this team, and they're not. And they make a scapegoat out of Little. So, I mean, Madge knows what he's doing, supposedly. So maybe this is the injection into the team that they need to really start the ship. The other big one for Supercoach is Stefano Utoyakamanu is now the starting prop. He's replaced Zane Musgrove. And he's been killing it and rightly promoted to that starting position. Should make a fair bit more cash for us.
Yeah, love it, especially because he's going to play that first bye week as well. So, Stefano, hopefully if that starting spot continues to generate some cash and we can play him easily round 13. So, definitely love that news. That's a rare win for Supercoach. Only thing I'm just noticing, Moses Mbai has been named in the 14 jersey. I wonder if there's a chance that either Roberts or even Kapoa, who's been named at centre this week, get moved along for him, and that pushes Jacob Little back into the side in some capacity. But you're keeping an eye on team lists there, at least for Simpkins' case. We've got, I think, we'll have three games now before he rises in price. So who knows, could be a good move on for the likes of Connor Watson if you've got him up there as well. So great news anyway, longer term, you'd hope, given the way he seems to be playing in the Reggies. Raiders and the Eels should be another great game here. Raiders at home for this one. Josh Hodgson, as we said, has been named but is carrying a bit of a hip concern. Caleb Akins comes in at fullback in place of CNK. Had a quick look at some of his stats. He's about 300-odd K centre wing dual fullback, but geez, I don't know what it is. Just Raiders fullbacks don't seem to be scoring too well. Rapana, case in point, last week didn't get a lot back there. Interesting one, Ryan James out of the 21-man squad completely, and I don't think we know why.
No, it hasn't really come to the fore about why he's been cut. Has had two HIAs over the last couple of weeks. He failed the first one a couple of weeks ago and passed last weekend. So maybe they're just resting him just to give him a bit more of time to recover from that. But it is a concern.
Particularly for owners who saw him, was he in the starting spot last week? So now
he got promoted to the starting spot. And his 5-point game where he got the HIA has just dropped out. So his break even's just dived back down to 12, I believe. So he's about to start making some serious coin again. And now he's not even playing.
For the Eels this week, as your boy, we said at the top, Dylan Brown, he's out for a game with a crusher tackle suspension, and Will Smith, utility, is coming in to take his spot. Matto, he's been named yet again, but geez, it's just, who knows with this poor bloke. We'd like to think, I think it's the third time now he's been named.
Edge your seat stuff, just waiting for him.
Yeah, hopefully he's an interesting one, because if you've got, we talked about at the top, you've got your Crichton, your Fifita, those sort of guys there that have just been killing it at second row. And Ryan Madison's barely gotten out of second gear, and it's just because he's not been there. So you'd think he's still an absolute gun in the game, got a lot to give, but the head knock stuff just gives me absolute pause with that sort of stuff. So
yeah, absolutely. And when he's on the field, he's one of the best. He had a 30-plus something in a heart for game of football against the Storm before getting KO'd. And missed every game since, but he was on the way for a big score in that game and on the way for a big season, I feel. And again, his head's just let him down, and you want him to take all the time he needs to get his health right, but we could definitely use him out there from a super coach point of view. So hopefully he can right himself before too long.
A guy that's really benefited from Matto being out as well is Isaiah Papali'i. So he got a start off the bench in round one.
Yeah, he's gone to the moon. Yeah.
How much money do you reckon he's made? Have a quick guess.
He would have made 100K in the last 2 weeks alone, wouldn't he? He's been scoring tries at will.
124K, and he had his first ton ever last week. So courtesy of a try and plenty of work being done, but he scored a couple now in a row. So scored a 93 and 109. He's soaring in price. Doing great things for anyone that jumped on thinking Matto might be out long term. That would have been a fantastic play. Because Papali'i is not just a flash in the pan. He's done very well to start his
Eagles. And even coming off the bench, he's been great for them. So it was a definite miss on my part. But anybody who jumped on is cheering.
-7 break even. I think if Matto's back, it sort of means that this week and maybe next is probably the last you'll get much value out of Papali'i as he soars up that price rise. But for now, anyway, just doing great things. So Would even be contemplating playing him if Maddow's even still there. That's how good he has been. No one else really of relevance for the Eels, I don't think. Is your boy Bryce Cartwright still there?
Yes. There's been no other changes to the team, so Bryce Cartwright will still be named. Scored a 50 on his Eels debut. So not the worst.
I'm cheering for Cardi, and I'm also moving us on.
Did some classic Cartwright thing, so I can't wait to watch this game on Saturday. That would be brilliant.
Dragons and the Warriors. This is a really intriguing match here. The Warriors falling away a little bit. The Dragons going the complete opposite. Alex, who we're going to speak to tomorrow, is a big Dragons fan, so he's just killing it. Supercoach and the NRL, what a year for him. No changes for them. We talked about gum teams. This is a top four side. What a crazy old year it is. Josh Maguire, Moose, he's moved down from the boys and he's now at the Dragons. He's in the extended reserve, so no idea what they're going to do with him or why they're bothered, but there you go. No one else really of relevance for them, so the Warriors.
Look at this team. Look at this team. Jack Bird, Corey Norman, Andrew McCulloch, and now Josh Maguire. They're the
Ben Hunt.
Ben Hunt's there, yeah.
He's not there.
The St. Brisbane Drongos, we can call them, from going forward. They're a merger side.
Love it. Warriors, mate, they got Fusatua out with a hamstring injury. Marcelo Montoya has been named despite copping a head knock. Josh Curran gets a run in the starting second row with Ellie Katoa dropping out of the squad completely. Ellie's just not quite kicking on as he did last season. Bunty Afoa and Jermaine Tenor-Brown are both available after being suspended. A few people talking about Afoa. He's relatively cheap but named on the interchange bench. So, again, minutes probably going to be a question. I know Anton loves him, but is he a name that you've considered at all this season?
No, not at all. And you can't consider him if he's playing off the bench. You look at that side, like Ben Murdoch, Wasilla, Bunty Afoa, Kane Evans, they're all big men in the middle. And you've got Tohu, Jazz, and Leeson Armau in starting positions. So there's not going to be a whole lot of minutes, I don't think, rotating through there for those guys. Tohu's going to get a ton of minutes still, whether he's stays at prop or moves into lock at some stage. He demands minutes, that guy. So, you know, the rest of them going to have to split. I don't know. What is it?
Tavunga a watch for me. He's been relatively quiet to start the year, but had a big week last week with an 82, getting a few more minutes than he's been used to out there as well. So hopefully for him, he had his top minute game last week against Manly with 57 and scored 82 points, back to doing Jazz sort of thing. So hopefully for him, it turns a corner on his season because he's shed a fair bit of cash. He's, 72K he's dropped. Wow. 481K. So he's someone I'm keeping an eye on over the next few weeks or so. No one else really from the Warriors. Let's move to the second last game. This is the one we've all been waiting for. Lakey, you're going to tell your kids, your next three, exactly where you were 4:05 p.m. Sunday the something of April.
If I have three more kids, mate, I'll be in the grave. That's where I'll be.
Cowboys and the Bulldogs, mate. Well, what an absolute nutcracker this is sure to be.
It's one way of putting it. Well,
it's actually the last game of the round if I missed one there?
It is the last game of the round, yeah.
Well, there you go, flown through it. Cowboys, as we said, Jason Taumalolo has been named to make his return from hand injury at lock. Cohen Hess, he starts at prop. They don't want him tackling wide because he just can't do it at all. So stick in the middle, son. Frank Moller goes back to the bench. Reuben Cotter out of the squad completely. All the talk this week about Ben Condon. So relatively new to the NRL scene here. He's 21 years old. Played a lot of handy games in the lower grades. Got a great super coach mold to him. Scored a try last week, so obviously get a fair few price rises out of that at 180-odd K. A few people asking about his long-term security, so I think having a look at the side that we've named, Tom Gilbert, he's still in the Q Cup, played there last week, so he was a name I was keeping an eye on just in case he came back and filled that second row spot as we thought. But thankfully for Condon's sake and any future owners, he's not even in the 21. Peter Holler, probably the next cab off the rank in the second row, he's been named on the extended. So for now,
Mitchell Dunn is there floating around the reserves too. Is there any concern with Mitchell Dunn?
I think, unfortunately, his time's probably passed in the side given how poor he was defensively. So I think that's been key for Todd Payton there. Mitch Dunn was missing sometimes 6-7 tackles a game. It's just not going to cut it at NRL level.
He's just trying to fit in with the rest of the side, though.
Well, there you go. Do as the rest of the team do, and you'll be fine. But no, we've moved him on, so I think Mitch Dunn might struggle to make it back in. The way Condon's playing and the way the coach talked him up, I think it's a good sign going forward. And, you know, worst case, he's going to fill in at some point because injuries always strike.
The big telling point for you're a Cowboys fan and a Supercoach fan, and are you getting in Condon this week?
I certainly am. So well, there you go. I just think
it's good enough for me.
Too much cash to be made. It is. There you go. So I'm backing him in. I am 8,000th for a reason, though, Lakey. So steer very carefully.
Oh, that's it. I'm miles ahead of you. I should be giving you advice from 60 ranks up.
For the Dogs, Josh Jackson's out. And an interesting one, Luke Thompson, he killed it last week coming back, seemed to, I don't know, do something to their attack that had spluttered for a long, long time. 240 minutes, I think it was, without a try. He came back and scored one, scored about an 80 on it for Supercoach. So very intriguing name, Luke Thompson, named at lock. English forward, he's had a few weeks off to start the season with suspension. So he's back, ready to go. I'm keeping my eye on him. He's a bit higher priced than I'd like. But outside of that, the Dogs, there's really not much doing.
No, that's right. They've got Jackson Topine, however you may pronounce it. I'm not quite sure, but he's in the 14 there. Very highly rated junior, just basically filling in at 9 for the Dogs the last couple of weeks and not getting the minutes that you'd want out of him. But very popular option. Heading into this round, being that he's coming into his third game and he's completely basement price. Jake Avarillo looked really good last week too, I thought, against the Storm. Had his best game of the year by far and actually looked like he was controlling the game at stages. I know that's hard to say when they lost by 34, I think it was. But, yeah, Avarillo actually impressed me a bit.
He did. Unfortunately, had a pretty rocky start to the year getting dropped and then Lachlan Lewis coming back and all that. But I think, yeah, hopefully that might be a turning point for him because he was much better in that one than he was. Maybe the kick up the backside did wonders for him. But, yeah, I don't know if you'd be looking at him now. Maybe just need to see it 2 weeks in a row. And it ain't happening here against the winning Circle Cowboys. Yeah, effing hard.
That's it. He's on 313K and he's got a negative 7 BE. So if you're still held on to him, now's the time where you're going to get some cash back. But I wouldn't be trading him. Exactly.
No, not at all. All right, Lakey, that's a pretty interesting teamless choose. That's thrown up a lot more questions than it has answers. So we're going to try and get the answers to you tomorrow night. We've got Alex on board, as we said, number 2 overall in Supercoach. So he's absolutely flying. He's obviously doing the right thing. He's going to teach us a thing or two, I reckon. But anyway, thanks, Lakey. It's good to finally get to the end of what seems like an age to get this TLT podcast out. But I'm glad we did.
Yeah, it's been well worth it. I got a few drinks out of it. It was good.
You did. Time away from the wife as well. What could be more romantic than that, hey?
Oh, no. I treated her to a football game on the weekend, and now I'm subjecting her to an isolation in the bedroom while I'm doing a podcast. So she must be wrapped with me at the moment.
And yet you're still getting let out for Magic Round. I can't believe it. Let's see. Play your cards right, Lane.
Must be doing something wrong.
Don't get locked up before Magic Round hits. Anyway, mate, thank you very much for joining me yet again. And I guess we'll catch you, well, next week because you're off camping.
I am. I'm taking the kids away for school holidays. We're going camping for a couple of days. So I won't be joining you guys tomorrow, but give Alex a cuddle for me and all the best.
I will do. It seems to work wonders for Stilesy last week going away for the weekend and not touching his Supercoach team. So maybe do as he does. 13.50, I think he got.
Yeah, I'll give it a go.
Could do a lot worse. Lakey, thanks very much, mate. Catch you next week.
Raging, live at the outpost. Whoa, when Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.